The following program, Normal Show Live, is intended for responsible adults only. We advocate for the repeal of marijuana prohibition for adults. We discuss the science, culture, and controversy about America's marijuana laws. We do not advocate or encourage any illegal activity and advise all listeners to learn their state and federal marijuana laws by visiting normal.org, N-O-R-M-L.org. Opinions and claims made by guests and advertisers of Normal Show Live are their own and do not necessarily reflect the philosophy and policies of Normal. Listener discretion is advised.
You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it.
And it goes down smooth. Hey!
Spanning the continent to bring you the truth about cannabis and marijuana law reform.
I smoke pot and I like it a lot.
From the promise of legalization.
And I think we need to rethink and decriminalize our marijuana laws.
To the agony of prohibition.
One major responsibility is to encourage people to use less drugs.
The National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws presents... Normal Show Live, Marijuana Nation. Now, here's your host, Normal's Outreach Coordinator, Radical Russ Belvin.
All right, everybody, welcome to the weekend and welcome to Normal Show Live, the voice of the marijuana nation. It's Friday, January 22nd, 2010, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. Welcome for 60 minutes of live news, talk, music, and information by, for, and about the cannabis community. Coming to you live and direct from the free speech zone we call America, in the upper left corner, a nice wet green place we call Potland, Oregon. It's not a typo, it's a way of life. And joining me just 90 miles away in the upper northwest tip of this beautiful state in Astoria, Oregon, home of the Goonies, my half-half sister, Cannabis Carrie.
That's right. Never say die, Russ. Never say die.
Never say die. Never say die. You know, we talked about Goonies yesterday, but it's also the site of Kindergarten Cop.
Yes, and The Ring, too, and Welcome to the Paradise, and Benji the Hunted, and Free Willy, and a bunch of other movies.
Carrie knows all about all of them, and anybody, if you want to get out there to Astoria, Oregon, and take the tour, we're ready to have you. Coming up on today's show, it is our Cultivator's Corner. On the fourth Friday of every month, we visit with High Times Senior Cultivation Editor Danny Danko, and he answers your grow questions from our live chat. We've also got some emails that we've received at stash@normal.org with people's grow questions. We'll be getting to those at the bottom of the hour, so stay tuned for that. Also, for our Daily Toker Tunes today, it is Rockin' Friday, and the Bastard has brought me a song. Well, we're not governed by the FCC here, so if anybody has a problem with harsh words, cover your ears now. The song is called Marijuana Motherfucker. So that will be our song today for our Daily Toker Tunes. Kind of a punk tune, like you couldn't guess. And we'll also follow that up with some extra music from our good friend Chief Greenbud. So we'll round it out just a bit in the Daily Toker Tunes. Also, I've got great announcements with regard to my hosting of the Cannapalooza in Las Vegas, Nevada. I'm hosting the speakers panel. Got some confirmations of some speakers and more information for those of you who will want to check that out in March. And a couple of clips from our Normal activists in the great state of California. Cheryl Schumann from Beverly Hills Normal testified at the Los Angeles City Council. Some very moving testimony. And Southern California Normal down in San Diego, the director Craig Barish down there hooked up with Pato Benton, the reggae superstar, for 3 minutes of conversation. We'll bring both of those to you toward the end of the show here at Normal Show Live. So stick around. We got plenty of stuff here for everyone in the cannabis community. We'll be right back in just a few minutes. We've got to pay a few bills, as always, and we encourage you to check out our 420 friendly sponsors. We have advertising up at stash.normal.org. If you'd like to get more information on these advertisers, if you'd like to advertise, send me an email at stash@normal.org.
You're listening to Normal Show Live, the voice of the marijuana nation.
Hello, I'm Paul Stanford from the Hemp and Cannabis Foundation, or THCF. Medical marijuana is legal in 13 states today, and
14.
THCF has clinics in 8 of those states. Our doctors help qualified patients obtain an authorization for medical marijuana in their state. Patients are eligible for medical marijuana with a history of either severe chronic pain and or nausea, cancer, AIDS or HIV, hepatitis, glaucoma, seizure disorders like epilepsy, chronic muscle spasms such as multiple sclerosis or asthma, neurodegenerative diseases such as Alzheimer's, and gastrointestinal disorders like IBS or Crohn's disease. If you or someone you know has one of these conditions, our doctors will help you obtain a permit for medical marijuana. THCF Medical Clinics has offices in Washington State, Oregon, California, Colorado, Hawaii, Nevada, Montana, and now Michigan. Call 1-800-723-0188 or go to the web at hemp.org or 1-800-723-0188.
Hi, it's a kite, everybody.
This drug in front of me is what they call marijuana.
If we had a dime for every dime bag bought in America, marijuana would be legal by now. Donate to Normal at NORML.org and support Normal Show Live.
I'm going to light.
Medical marijuana, industrial hemp, consumer cannabis. It's time for this week's Normal News with Cannabis Carrie.
An important decision was handed down in California Supreme Court yesterday in the case of the people versus Patrick Kelly. A 50-page decision was handed in the long-awaited ruling. A unanimous decision of the justices ruled on the constitutionality of state-imposed limits of the amount of cannabis patients could legally possess and grow. The language that the justices focused on in their ruling was that possession of medical cannabis, as stated in the California's Compassion Act of 96, allows patients and caregivers to have quantities that are consistent with the patient's needs, regardless of limits set by the state's guidelines adopted in 2004. Now, that sets the limit at 6 mature plants, 12 immature plants, and or 8 ounces of processed and dried cannabis. In the case of defendant Patrick Kelly, a tip from a neighbor led police to his house and found that he had 12 ounces of processed cannabis and a few plants to treat his hepatitis, cirrhosis, and chronic back pain. Kelly tried to use an affirmative defense under the Compassionate Use Act, but an L.A. court convicted him after the prosecutor reminded the jury repeatedly that the defendant had no special medical recommendation for as much as 12 ounces. Kelly found a new lawyer and took his case to the California Appeals Court. His new lawyer pointed out that the legislature cannot modify a voter-passed initiative, and the court unanimously agreed. Medical cannabis patients in California can now defend themselves in court if they are arrested based on the amount of cannabis they possess.
Oh, that's great news. Let's hear it for the California Supreme Court on this one. Yeah, the People v. Kelly decision, very important here. The basic constitutional question at play here is, in the state of California, Prop 215 was passed to legalize the medicinal use of marijuana. That's a citizen initiative. And under the California Constitution, if the citizens pass an initiative, only the citizens can amend an initiative, right? So what happened, right? Citizens passed Prop 215, and then the California legislature, the assembly, they put together, put together SB 420. Yes, the bill was actually called SB 420. And this was the bill that set statutory limits on how much people could possess, and it was something like 8 ounces or something like that. What this decision means is that the SB 420 limits are not a ceiling to someone's ability to possess, but rather a floor, the lower limit of what they could possess and be accepted as legal, right? So anywhere from 0 to 8 ounces, and it's no question that you are a medical user, right? 0 to 8 ounces, you're cool. Above 8 ounces, though, does not mean that you're not medical. That's what this decision means. It means that above 8 ounces, if you can show that you had a legitimate medical need for more than 8 ounces, you're okay. Now, what defines legitimate medical need is different for different patients, of course. Some patients have extreme need, have to use a lot of cannabis every day, and not always smoked or vaporized. Sometimes some patients can only use it through edibles. And when you're using edibles, it takes about 4 times as much cannabis to get by. When we did studies on this in Washington, Washington State had a 60-day supply in their medical marijuana law, which was very vague. And so they decided to study it, like what would be the upper bound limit for a reasonable amount of medical marijuana to count as a 60-day supply. The study came back with 70 ounces, 7-0, 70 ounces for a two-month supply. So I could suppose that'd be 35 ounces for a one-month supply, right? Now, they didn't stick with that. They got scared, of course, and went down to 24 ounces, which is the statutory limit in Oregon. So in Oregon and Washington, 24 limits, upper bound limit. In California, 8 ounces is a lower bound limit.
And advocates are gearing up in South Dakota after gathering 30,000 signatures to put a medical marijuana initiative to the voters. To get on the ballot, they only needed 16,776 valid signatures. Emmett Reistroffer of Sioux Falls, one of the organizers of the petition drive, will file the signatures on Monday, providing the roads are safe to travel to Pierre.
Yeah.
A similar measure failed in 2006, but still received 48% of the vote. Advocates say that support for medical marijuana has grown in South Dakota since the 2006 vote. Reistroffer said he got involved in the petition drive after seeing his mother suffer from lupus and the relief that she received from cannabis. Law enforcement officials have expressed their concern that this would be a way for teenagers to find access to marijuana. South Dakota Attorney General Mary Jackley said that law enforcement will have a difficult time distinguishing between those who can legally use it and those who would just smoke cannabis for recreational use. Attorney General Jackley is quoted in the Daily Republic this week saying, quote, "As a prosecutor, I've seen the adverse effects that marijuana can have on certain personalities. We've experienced violent crimes associated with the use of marijuana." No word if Attorney General Jackley has noticed the adverse effects on people's lives of law enforcement arrest and the stigmatization of otherwise law-abiding cannabis consumers being criminals.
I got this. Well, first of all, kudos to the activists in South Dakota. If you're interested in this, check out our normal chapter out there, SODAC Normal. They are SODAKNORML.org, SODAC Normal. And this is an amazing story because one of the leading activists in that state was forbidden by the judge from having anything to do with promoting this measure. The fellow's name is Bob Newland, and you can read all about him at our Stash blog at stash.normal.org. Just type in Bob Newland up in the search. Basically, what happened is he got busted, and as part of his sentence, the judge forbid him to have any sort of leadership or communications role in the promotion of the medical marijuana initiative for South Dakota. Yeah, that's really, the judge took away his First Amendment rights to push for a citizens initiative. It's just an amazing story. Anyway, so amazing that they got it on the ballot, or they got the signatures, and they're going to get this on the ballot. Mississippi Hippie in the chat room is telling me that there's a major, major snowstorm headed for South Dakota, so he may not be able to get on the roads to turn that in by Monday. But we wish him all the best of luck, everybody in the great state of South Dakota, trying to bring medical marijuana to the Great Plains.
And now in a new segment that I'm calling Friday Updates, this is a quick look at just a few headlines that either didn't fit into the week's news or any updates of earlier stories. And we're going to start off with an update on the overwhelming number of medical cannabis applicants in Colorado. Now, we did a story that last Tuesday, they had a record number come into their mailroom, 1,650 in one day. Well, Ron Hyman, the head of the office at the State Department of Health that oversees the applications, said to NBC affiliate Channel 9 that record was shattered on Wednesday with over 1,800 applications turned in one day. He says that the first few years, the program, they received only a few hundred per year. In 2008, that number had jumped to 5,000 for the year. And last month, the office received approximately 15,000 applications alone. And they are on track to beat that record this month. Now, with every applicant paying $90 to apply, Colorado is finally hiring 5 new temp employees to help speed up the process. So, Russ, that math equals out to a staggering $1.35 million just last month.
Wow, that's some money.
Okay, and a quick headline. Kush Colorado is the name of a new slick glossy magazine that debuted in Colorado last month. A free magazine that graces the racks at local 7-Eleven stores, grocery stores, and other retailers is flying off the shelves. In the first 4 days it was available, over 22,000 copies were snapped up, and the racks are now being reloaded twice a week. Articles in Kush Colorado's first issue include an interview with Tommy Chong, a guide to shopping while stoned, and a description of lighting options for those who want to grow marijuana indoors.
Oh, that's great. I'm glad that's... Our studio audience loves it, Carrie.
Okay, now here's a few that people have been asking about. Quite a few people have asked me for an update on Mark Emery.
Yes.
Now, as it stands now, Mark is at home with his wife, Jody, and they're waiting for the Canadian Justice Minister, the Honorable Rob Nicholson, to sign the extradition orders that will send Mark to the U.S. to serve out his 5 years for selling cannabis seeds over the Internet. All of the legal hurdles have already been crossed in this case, and this is the last order of business, the extradition order, and it can come at any time, and that will send Emery to a Seattle detention center with only a 48-hour notice.
Oof.
And I just wanted to mention that my calls to the Justice Minister in Canada have been unanswered.
What? How could they turn you down, Carrie? That's terrible.
Okay, and here's an update from Topeka, Kansas about the much-hyped K2 fake marijuana product
yes.
gracing the shelves of stores in Kansas and lurking on the Internet for the rest of the nation. Now, the Kansas Senate, in their very first legislative action this year, voted on Thursday to go ahead and criminalize synthetic marijuana. Kansas is in the first in the nation to do so. Now, possession of K2 or similar products like Salvia divinorum would be a misdemeanor under the bill. The measure passed 36-1 as lawmakers said they wanted to ban the substance before it became more widely abused. The lone vote against was cast by David Haley, who noted that alcohol, tobacco, prescription drugs, glue, and paint thinner were much more dangerous than K2 if abused, and yet they were still all legal. He said he was proud to be the one lawmaker in session that didn't cave into hysteria. Now, I actually spoke with Representative Rob Olson this morning on the phone, who introduced the bill, and I asked him if the new restriction would outlaw Marinol, the synthetic version of THC. Now, although Representative Olson was unaware of the chemical compounds that make up Marinol, he said the language of the bill only restricts the chemicals JWH-18 and JWH-073. Those are analgesic chemicals from the aminoalkylindole family, and that acts as cannabinoid receptors. And he said he's pretty sure that Marinol is safe under the language of the bill.
Okay.
Russ, that's it for your Friday update.
Wow, Carrie, great job on the updates there, above and beyond the call of duty. Excellent work. Calling a representative and everything.
He was great. So he answers his own phone, and he was actually in the car driving, and he pulled over and had a very nice conversation with me.
Oh, that is great. Hey, everybody, check out Carrie's website up at cannabisfantastic.com. She's doing all her news reporting up there, and you can catch more. I assume you've got hyperlinks to a lot of these stories as well.
I do, absolutely.
All right, check that out. Also, we've got a lot of these stories at our Stash blog at stash.normal.org. Check that out as well. Got some folks in the chat room that are asking about the upcoming Cannapalooza in Las Vegas, Nevada. Hey, great news on that. I am the host of the speaker forum there at Cannapalooza. It's taking place March 19th through the 21st at the Mandalay Bay in Las Vegas, Nevada. All sorts of great guests there. Speakers will be online, including Mickey Norris and Chris Conrad from California. And Gayo Belum, the publisher of West Coast Cannabis, as well as a great stand-up comedian. Madeline Martinez, the creator of Oregon Normal's world-famous Cannabis Cafe, will be there. Robert Platshorn, the Black Tuna, the longest-serving marijuana prisoner, 29 years he served. He'll be joining us at there, as well as Normal staff, myself, Paul Armentano, Sabrina Fendrick. And great news for everyone, I've just confirmed that our good friend Chief Greenbud will be there, acting as my Paul Schaefer, so to speak, for the performance. He'll be the in-between entertainment. So check it out, Cannapalooza in Las Vegas, Mandalay Bay, March 19th through the 21st. We got to take a break. It's 20 after the hour, and you know what that means. We got to pay some bills, and, you know, we'll be right back with your Daily Toker Tunes. It's Rockin' Friday. Stay tuned.
It's 20 after the hour. We have to take a short break. If
you know what I mean. Please support these sponsors who support Normal Show Live.
Oh, have you ever met that funny reefer man? A reefer man. Have you ever met that funny reefer man? A reefer man. If he said he swam to China, he would sell you South Carolina. Then you know you're talking to that reefer man.
Law420.com. Hello, I'm Russ Belville, Outreach Coordinator for Normal. In my job, I read literally hundreds of headlines each month involving nonviolent, productive citizens whose lives are ripped apart by a marijuana or drug arrest. Many citizens could avoid arrest by refusing police searches and remaining silent, but police are well trained to confuse and intimidate. That's why you have a right to speak to an attorney before answering any police questions. I hope you never need to exercise that right, but if you do, make your first call to the law offices of John C. Lucy IV. John Lucy is an accomplished criminal defense attorney with expertise in Oregon's medical marijuana law. John Lucy understands and respects cannabis and drug consumers of all backgrounds. Call John C. Lucy IV at 503-227-6000 or visit in downtown Portland. Address available at law420.com. That's John C. Lucy IV at 503-227-6000 or visit law420.com today.
Almost busted in Laredo, but for reasons that I'd rather not disclose.
I smoke pot, and I like it a lot. Hi, this is Willie Nelson. I learned a long time ago that marijuana is a lot safer to use than alcohol. There's absolutely nothing wrong with the responsible use of marijuana by adults. It's time we stopped arresting and started respecting responsible marijuana smokers in America. And to learn what you can do to help, please contact Normal at www.norml.org or call toll-free at 888-67-NORMAL.
The show was long and we were just sitting there, and we'd come to play and not just for the ride.
It's time for your daily Toker Tunes, the best in 420-friendly music from all genres that uplifts, entertains, and informs the public. Our PodSafe music is donated by freedom-loving musicians who support our goal of ending adult marijuana prohibition. Today we take you into the weekend with Rockin' Friday, our segment featuring the best rock, metal, punk, and jam band music, brought to you by The Bastard, blogging at jerseyandohio.wordpress.com. If you'd like to submit your song to be played on Normal Show Live, send it to us at stash@normal.org. Now, here's some great independent marijuana music for today's Daily Toker Tunes. All right, everybody. Today, Rockin' Friday, we got a new tune here from The Bastard. He couldn't join us today. He's having some computer difficulties. We'll get those fixed as soon as we can. But this song comes from a group called DOA. He tells me it's kind of a punk outfit that he knows, and it's a short but sweet song. And for those of you who have sensitive ears, you might want to mute your speakers, because the title of this tune is called Marijuana Motherfucker.
Up against the wall, motherfucker. Up against the wall, motherfucker.
so short that I wanted to put another song on the back end of it. This is Chief Greenbud with It's Only a Weed.
Hello, Mr. Officer, and how are you this evening? You say that you're smelling something that you don't find very pleasing. Could it be the fact that I've been smoking weed? Yes, indeed. Yes, sir, Mr. Officer, I've got my hands behind me. Please don't use any more pepper spray, 'cause that last shot was blinding, I can't see. And it's getting hard to breathe, I'm in custody. Oh, it's only a weed. Oh, it's only a weed. It's only a weed, it's only a weed. Hello, Mom and Dad, it seems I've got a little problem. The policeman thinks I'm dealing, and it's prison time he's talking. Could you please call an attorney just for me? I'm in need. Hey, public defender, when's my case going to trial? 'Cause I couldn't make my bond, and I've been in jail a while and lost my job, all for a quarter pound of pot. Ain't that a crock? Oh, it's only a weed. Oh, it's only a weed. It's only a weed, it's only a weed. Well, prison life is really hard, but when they let us in the yard, there's a man named Bubba looking out for me. He says that I'm pretty cute, but I feel like I'm being used. There's just got to be a better way, 'cause I'm not gay. Hey, future employer man, there's something I must tell you, 'cause when you run all my numbers, well, you're gonna find my record. I did time. Having marijuana is a crime. I wish they'd have an open mind. It's not a crime. Oh, it's only a weed. Oh, it's only. It's only a weed. It's only a weed.
That's Chief Greenbud with It's Only a Weed, his parody of the Plain White Tees, Vada. So we'll get a chance to join us there. We'll be streaming the show live, actually, on March 19th through the 21st, 1 p.m. to 4 p.m. Pacific. So you'll get to see the show even if you can't make it to Vegas. All right, coming up at the bottom of the hour here, right after this break, Danny Danko in our Cultivator's Corner. Get your questions ready in the chat room.
Hi, I'm Keith Straub, the founder of Normal. In all the years since 1970 that I've been fighting marijuana prohibition, I've learned that drug warriors love to confuse the public with statistics. Lately, they've claimed that there are more teens enrolled in drug treatment for marijuana than ever before. It's a statement that, while true, is intentionally misleading. What they don't tell you is that marijuana arrests have skyrocketed to over 800,000 arrests per year. They also don't tell you that we've gone from a few dozen drug courts in the 1990s to over 2,500 drug courts today. The kicker is that those drug courts sentence teens routinely to drug treatment for marijuana, whether they need drug treatment or not. So they arrest more people for pot, require them to enter drug treatment, then claim the higher treatment numbers justify more pot arrests. It's an absurd proposition, but no more absurd than banning a plant. Learn the facts about pot. Visit norml.org today.
Starfish Designs, makers of the original Gandalf.
I'm Radical Russ, and when I want to relax, I always have my 17-inch long original Gandalf from Starfish Designs nearby. The hand-blown borosilicate glass is strong and easy to clean, and the design is sleek and sophisticated. Starfish Designs are available from Bend, Oregon at a glass retailer near you.
For locations, call 541-788-GLASS. That's 541-788-4527.
Mary, Mary, quite contrary. How does her garden grow? Don't ask me. I'm just the voiceover guy. Ask High Times Senior Cultivation Editor Danny Danko in our Normal Show Live's Cultivator's Corner.
I want to tell y'all a little bit about a plant I know that can save the world.
That's right. It's a plant that can save the world, and we're going to talk all about it with High Times Senior Cultivation Editor Danny Danko. Danny, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Russ.
Oh, good. We got a little delay, but we're still on with you. That's great to hear. Tons of questions coming in here, but before we get started with them, was there anything you wanted to address before we jump right into it?
Nothing in particular. We've got our new March glass issue out.
All right, check that out on the web at hightimes.com and also on the newsstands. Let me just go right up to the top of the list here, and we'll just knock out a few of these questions. Hold on a moment. All right, let's see. From Mississippi Hippie, we have a question that says, I've heard or read that soaking seeds in a banana could increase the possibility of having female plants. Is there any truth to that?
You know, I have heard that one as well. Basically, there's certain hormones in the banana skin that can induce more females from seeds. And so, yeah, I've heard that, but I don't think it's like a catch-all. I don't think it's guaranteed female seeds. I think it just increases slightly the probability of females.
Hmm. And it you know, wouldn't be bad as a fertilizer, would it?
Hello?
Yeah, Danny, we gotcha.
No. I mean, definitely, banana peels are great for composting.
Okay, great. Another question here, and this is a general question. We get this a lot, but good to address it here. A lot of people are hearing about this new LED light technology. What's your opinion on the LEDs?
As far as LEDs, I think that the technology is still up in the air. I mean, they're figuring it out basically as we speak. And they're becoming better and better, but I wouldn't recommend anybody dedicate their whole grow room to LEDs. They're great right now as supplemental lighting or in replacement for fluorescence. So in places like where you'd have your mother plants or your clone room.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Another question here from the chat room is asking, you know, this guy's got a 400-watt light and wants to know what would be the max grow area or canopy size he could go with 400 watts?
400 watts, I would say, is perfect for about 4 by 4, 4 feet by 4 feet, maybe even 5 feet by 5 feet, but not too much bigger than that.
Okay, about 4 foot by 4 foot sounds good. When someone's using one of those 400 watt lights, are there any sort of other ways they can help maximize the light they're going to get from that bulb?
Well, I see that a lot of people typically keep the lights a little too far away from their plants sometimes. They've got them up way too high, like 3 feet above the plant. And what that does is just makes the plant stretch for more light. So ideally, you want a 400 watt to be about a foot from the tops of your plants. And if that's creating heat, then you just have to deal with the heat issue. But light diminishes very quickly with every foot of distance it is away from the tops of the plants.
Okay. Question here from Bomb Hills wanting to know, how important is humidity? He's got a fairly low humidity, he says about 25 to 32% where he's at.
That's a little low. I mean, I definitely recommend about 50% humidity. And there's various ways you can raise it, cheap ways and then pretty expensive ways too.
Okay. What are some of the cheap ways?
Well, some people will take, you know, like a wet rag and put that, you know, near their fan that's blowing. And you can always, if you have like a CO2 generator, or you can put like a pot of water near the burners there, and that kind of creates a lot of humidity. There's I mean, there's humidifiers for probably under $150 out there as well.
Okay, that sounds like it would work pretty good.
So, yeah, I mean, there, yeah.
All right, question here from DoseMe123 and a couple other people asking about feminized seeds and hermaphrodites. Do all the feminized seeds from over there have the Terminator gene introduced so they are difficult to clone or start producing seeds after a few cycles?
I don't know of any feminized seeds of cannabis having the Terminator gene. I think that's kind of a patented thing that they have at Monsanto. But there is, you know, problems with feminized seeds, and they do have a tendency to have some hermaphroditism inherent.
Okay. A couple questions that I got through email as well. I want to let people know we're talking with Danny Danko, the senior cultivation editor from High Times Magazine, as we do every fourth Friday of the month. You can send your questions to stash@normal.org. Question here was, what is the best way to grow outdoors year-round? Maybe a small greenhouse, or should I start them indoor and then put them outside after vegging them? I can't really use too much electricity, and that's why it's not full indoor. So how to get the most out of growing outdoors, I guess.
Well, it's kind of two different questions, because you can get the most out of one outdoor season by starting the plants indoors, even now, even, you know, February, January, and really getting them into, you know, vegetating them at 18 hours or 20 hours of light and getting them really big before you even put them out in, you know, let's say April or May, and then they still have time to vegetate outdoors. That's a way to get monster plants outdoors in, you know, September, October. But if you want to grow outdoors year round, then, you need something like light deprivation systems, which are greenhouses that will open and shut, whether it be by solar pump, by solar, motor, or they do it by hand sometimes. But basically every 12 hours it opens and then it shuts. And that way you can actually flower plants during the summertime. I've seen that a lot in Northern California. A lot of people trying to avoid the helicopters, which seem to only come in the late fall.
Ah, yes, of course. It's helicopter season. We also had a question by email about your recipe for Danny Danko's Magic Organic Mix. And I guess the problem they've got here is that your first three ingredients you list in parts and the last four you list in cups. So is there some place they can get the recipe where it's all in cups or all in parts so it's consistent?
Well, the reason I did that is because the major parts of it are like the main ingredients. So ultimately it's three parts of the peat mix or the cocoa core or pro mix, then one part of large chunky perlite and one part of worm castings. That makes up the basic soil mix. And then the stuff that's added, to that is in cups. So basically you've got five parts to the mix. That's three parts of the actual mix, then one part of large chunky perlite and one part of the worm casting. That's the mix. And then the half cup of green sand, half cup of dolomite lime, half cup of Peruvian sea bird guano, and quarter cup of Epsom salts are all added to those five parts and mixed in together. So it's really, those are kind of the additives, and the things that are the parts are the really main ingredients.
Okay. So I guess what we're saying here is that when you're mixing the three main ingredients, it doesn't matter if you've got a bucket full of it, a barrel full of it, or a pickup truckload full of it. You're just going to put in the half cups of the other things and the quarter cup of the other thing.
Well, actually, in that case, I would say basically that for every square meter, which is basically like 3 feet square, that's typically how the mixes are sold. Uh-huh. For every square meter, I would add the half cup of green sand, half cup of dolomitic lime.
Oh, that's great.
And that way, yeah, sorry.
No, that's fine. That's great. So that gives people a good way to go off of it.
Right. That recipe is also posted online. If you go to hightimes.com or even dannydanko.com, it'll take you to a bunch of my articles that are up there, and a lot of that is posted online. It's free information. You can check it out. We really just want to encourage people to grow their own.
Yeah. Okay, so for those of you listening that have that recipe, the three parts, one part, should make you about a cubic yard, and then add the half cups and the quarter cups. All right.
Right.
Let me get to another question here. Looking down the list, Carrie's picking them up as quick as she can from the chat room. Let's see. It says super noob here. That's okay. Everybody's new sometime, right? In aeroponics, I read you have to keep the chamber disinfected with 35% hydrogen peroxide. Is that the best way to go?
Well, you don't want to have the peroxide in the mix when you're feeding the plants. What you're doing is using the peroxide to clean the reservoir in between feedings. So every week, every week and a half, I wouldn't go longer than 2 weeks cleaning out a reservoir. But basically, every week and a half or so, you're going to want to clean the reservoir out completely, empty all the water and nutrients, and scrub it out with that peroxide mix. And then you want to rinse that off very well and then put back in your plain water and then your nutrient mix. You're going to pH test that. Also, I noticed a lot of times people don't really pay attention to the temperature of the water. And with aeroponics, it's really important. If the water gets too warm, you're going to get root rot. If it gets too cold, they'll be shocked. So it's important not just to measure the pH, but also the temperature of the water and the parts per million of the nutrients.
For people that might not know a whole lot about the difference here with aeroponics, hydroponics, and growing in soil, what kind of different results do those three methods give you with regard to yield or potency or flavor or anything like that?
Well, honestly, I prefer herb that's grown in soil myself. It's kind of a personal preference, and especially if it's organic. But, you know, hydroponic bud has its place. It grows faster, that's for sure. I mean, the roots have access to more oxygen. They have access to more nutrients. If all the conditions are perfect, the hydroponic and aeroponic plants are going to grow faster, and they're going to grow bigger, typically, than soil plants. But if you've got a really nice, loose, airy, soilless mix or soil mix, and you hand water it at the proper times, you can get results that are similar to hydroponics. And I think that the flavor and, the essence of the herb will be actually a little better in soil-grown plants.
I know that's kind of my preference, too, when I get the chance to have different types. It always seems like soil just has a better, a grounded taste. I don't know how else to better explain it. It just feels more real, in a sense. Maybe the difference between analog and digital just feels more real to me.
Yeah, it's kind of like that. It's almost like the hydro plants seem to have, where there's more, it's not necessarily better, and that the quality over quantity argument kind of works in with the soil-grown plants. You know, the quality's better, the flavor per square inch, or whatever you want to call it, it's just a little more earthy and flavorful.
Yeah.
And honestly, I think more potent in some ways, because with hydroponics, it's almost like the plant is kind of on steroids. It's beefed up and bulky, but there's not much, essence to it.
It's the Mark McGuire of cannabis, right?
Right.
We got a question here from one of our regulars, Pookie, who just asked a basic question, and I'm sure a lot of people want to know these kind of things. When is the best way to tell when it's time to harvest? What are some of the signs you're looking for?
Well, if you really want to harvest at the proper time, you have to get some kind of a loupe or a microscope or some way of really looking at the trichomes up close. And those are the glandular trichomes. A lot of people call them crystals or keef or whatever. That's the shiny, gland heads that are growing on the buds, and those contain the essential oils. Basically, you want to get a real close look at those. They start off clear, the heads. Then they start to get a little cloudy, and then they get amber. This all happens in about a two-week period towards the end of when they should be done. So, a sativa will go longer than an indica. But basically, most seeds and strains have a certain, 60 days, 65 days, a certain time in which they finish. And prior to that time, you should be looking at them really close and examining those gland heads. Because it's also personal preference. But typically, once they go cloudy and before they really start getting amber, is the best time, in my opinion. Now, some people will talk about, you know, the hair is getting red, 50% of the hairs are red. I just think that that's not really an accurate way to really tell the proper ripeness of the cannabis. Okay. And I think looking at the trichome is much more accurate way of knowing how strong it's going to be and when to harvest.
All right. Well, we've got time for a couple more questions, so bring them up in the chat room. Cannabis Carry is copying and pasting them to me so I can get them answered. And if we don't get to your question today, you can send it to me at stash@normal.org, and we will get to it the next time, which would be the fourth Friday of February. Okay, Danny, we got a question here from Track Snack, who's asking, how long can indoor growing plants live when the lights are out due to a power outage?
Wow. Okay. I would say they'll live for, you know, a week or more with no light, but they're going to immediately begin to start deteriorating. So after 2 or 3 days without light, you're going to start seeing signs of stress, and they're going to start going from dark green to a lighter green. They're going to start sagging and showing signs that they just need light. And so I would say, you really don't want to go more than 3 days in the worst case scenario without light. And if you have to get a generator or something, you know, you got to do that. But the other thing with generators is you cannot empty that, the gas and the spent stuff from there into the environment. This is a big problem in Northern California. And a lot of the growers have a backlash against the generator grows because they're polluting the environment, and we can't do that as cannabis growers.
Absolutely not. All right. The Blues Guy wants to know, what nutrients do you recommend for your Magic Organic mix, assuming that some of the nutrients are already included in the mix?
Right. Well, the nutrients are basically, there's that one part of worm castings. There's a half a cup of green sand, which is kind of, a lot of people don't know about this nutrient, but it contains a lot of minerals that are very important, especially for the early life of the plant. And the dolomitic lime, that's not really a nutrient. That's just meant to sort of balance out the pH, because typically peat is a little low. And then the seabird guano, that's a guano that's similar to bat guano, but it contains more nitrogen. So it's a lot better for the earlier part of the life of the plant. And then the quarter cup of Epsom salts, that's really your cal mags, your calcium and magnesium, and they're trying to, you know, account for certain nutrient needs that aren't in the NPK profile, which is the nitrogen, phosphorus, potassium, the big three main nutrients. So those are all, you know, organic additives. They're, none of them, you know, I can't really recommend one company over another or anything like that, but, you know, those are out there and they're available. And there are organic ways to provide nutrients to the plants. Now, keep in mind, after 2 or 3 weeks of hand watering these plants, a lot of this nutrient is going to be used up, and you're going to need to add nutrients to the water, you know, that you're adding to the plants if they start to yellow.
Okay. And one last question here that we can get in the time we have available with Danny Danko here, senior cultivation editor from High Times Magazine. DoseMe123 wants to know, what's your opinion on topping? I've heard that topping kills the main cola, and although it provides two new main buds, these buds will be of lower quality. Maybe explain what topping is, too.
Well, topping is, you know, just basically cutting off the top branch, or the main shoot of the plant, in order to create less of like the Christmas tree type profile and more of a bush kind of profile, where the other branches all sort of become tops. But I prefer a different way to do it, because basically what you do is you take the top and weigh it down so that it's lower than the other branches. That way, hormones are sent from that top branch down to the roots and through the plant, letting the plant know that the other branches should now be the dominant branch. It's like topping without topping, and then that main branch becomes a bud as well as all the others. It's basically, you just bring the top lower than the rest of the branches. People do this with sinker weights and any kind of little tie-down method that they might have. And that's what I prefer personally, because I think topping makes a plant branch out, but you're also killing off one of the most important producing colas that you're going to have. So this way you get the best of both worlds. You keep that main cola and you make all the other branches into main colas.
All right. Well, Danny Danko, thank you so much for joining us here on the Fourth Fridays here at Normal Show Live. And thanks for giving us a call from New York today.
Thank you, Russ. Thanks, Kari. Keep up the great work.
All right. I'm going to take a short pause and then we're back with more.
You're listening to Normal Show Live, the voice of the marijuana nation.
Ever wonder how often to change your bong water? The most effective method for baking pot brownies? The best destinations for a ganja getaway? How to hide herb in your car? Whether to grow your own? How precisely to legalize it? Or how something as wonderful as marijuana ever got to be illegal in the first place? Finally, you can find all these answers and much more in the official High Times Pot Smoker's Handbook, featuring 420 things to do when you're stoned. Since 1974, High Times Magazine has covered marijuana in all its aspects and wonders, from cultivation to legalization to the herb's enduring and exalted place in popular culture. Packed with inside information, the official High Times Pot Smoker's Handbook rolls all of this collected wisdom together into a single indispensable ganja guide, including an entertaining look at marijuana's history, profiles of herb-friendly travel destinations and festivals, favorite potluck recipes from the High Times staff, smoking skills, advocacy and activism, essential marijuana movies and songs, profiles of famous cannabis strains, comprehensive growing information, celebrity endorsements, and much more. This is truly, finally, the ultimate guide to green living.
Michael Phelps, Olympic superstar, 14 gold medals, world record holder. Bong smoker. So much for that amotivational syndrome.
All right, welcome back to Normal Show Live. 52 after the hour here. We're rounding up the show. Great segment with Danny Danko. Check out the newest issue of High Times Magazine. It's the special glass issue. I'm showing it up on the webcam here. Top glass of 2010. It's on your newsstands now. You can also check out my column in High Times. Look at the Normalizer page toward the bottom. I'm the guy writing those Freedom Fighter of the Month columns. And very, very happy to be doing it. All right, I wanted to get to some audio here that came across my desk here at stash.normal.org. Check out our website, stash.normal.org, for all of the stories that we cover here on the show, as well as the archive of all of our live shows in the Normal Daily Audio Stash. Look on the right-hand side of the page, scroll about halfway down, you'll see the big green Daily Audio Stash player. You can go back to any of our shows over the past year and get more information. All right, this next clip here comes from a friend of mine, a person that I know in the Beverly Hills area. Oh, and then my radio thing's going crazy on me. Hold on just a moment. Let's kill that. We're not done with the show yet here. Too much technology. Anyway, it comes from a friend of mine in Beverly Hills, Cheryl Schumann. She's the executive director of Beverly Hills Normal. And recently, the Los Angeles City Council was entertaining testimony on medical marijuana, specifically trying to set up limits on the dispensaries there in Los Angeles County. There's about 550 dispensaries there. The people that get up to testify only have 1 minute to deliver their testimony. And in 1 minute, I think Cheryl Schumann represented all of us extremely well.
I wanted to thank City Council. My name is Cheryl Schumann. I'm the Executive Director for Beverly Hills Normal, the National Organization for Reform of Marijuana Law. Thank you to the council that supports medical marijuana patients. I am a legal medical marijuana patient and a cancer survivor. I've spent the past 3 years having 7 surgeries and have found out recently that my tumors have spread to my liver and is inoperable. Because I am a legal medical marijuana patient, I have also found that my liver transplant will not be granted because I am a medical marijuana patient. So I stand here today as someone who's going to die because City Council and other legislative members can't clarify the laws for people like me. I want to also thank all of the people out here who are activists. There is this rumor that everyone's profiteering. I myself am a volunteer. I know that many people here are volunteers and don't get paid a dime to stand up for patients' rights. Thank you.
Thank you, ma'am.
Amanda Brazier. Amanda Brazier.
All of the people in the Los Angeles City Council Hall there are turning around and standing. A standing ovation for Cheryl Schumann after her testimony there. Check out Beverly Hills Normal at normal90210.org. That's normal90210.org. Join Beverly Hills Normal. Send them a donation. Cheryl is just one of so many people in the Normal Network who are fighting hard, who are volunteering their time. For all the people out there who smoke weed and won't or can't speak up, that's what we're doing here at Normal, is trying to be your voice of the cannabis community. I wish you the best of luck, Cheryl, and I know things will turn around for you. Everything's going to be fine. Also, this great clip I got in from Craig Barish, who's the executive director of Southern California Normal down in San Diego. You can check them out at NORMLSC for Southern California, NORMLSC.org. They got a great chance to meet with reggae legend Pato Banton, and this is his interview.
My name is Pato Banton. We're in San Diego at the World Beat Center. And it's Martin Luther King Day, and we are celebrating in fine style.
Perfect. Tell me, you're here a little bit with Southern California Normal. What's that all about?
Yeah, I'm here with Southern California Normal. We are basically, you know, supporting each other, supporting the cause, you know, and asking the masses to, you know, educate themselves about this wonderful herb, this wonderful plant. Educate themselves about medical marijuana, educate themselves about all the wonderful uses that we can get from hemp, you know, from medicinal uses, from clothing uses, you know, uses for fiber, uses for food, uses for oil, you know, there's so many wonderful uses of this wonderful plant, and we just want people to educate themselves, and when they see this green leaf, you know, not scorn it, you know, or look in the other direction, but learn about it. And I truly believe the more you know about it is the more you'll grow to love it. And even if you don't smoke it, you should support it. You should support the legalization and the decriminalization of marijuana, because there's a lot of people out there who need it for many different uses, for many different reasons. And rather than them turn into conventional pharmaceutical drugs, which have so many terrible side effects, you know, by turning to this natural plant, they can alleviate so many of their health problems with no dangerous side
That's
effects.
Pato Banton with Southern California Normal Executive Director Craig Barish. The full interview is available up at stash.normal.org. You can also find it on YouTube. Amazing interview. And before we round out the day, I'm going to bring Cannabis Carrie back onto the line here so we can talk a little bit about that Cheryl Schumann testimony. Wasn't that pretty powerful? Oh, Carrie, where is Carrie? Gosh, I thought I had her on the line. Let's see here. Maybe I unmuted the wrong thing again.
No, Russ, that was me. That was my mic that did that.
Okay. Yeah, I was just talking about the Cheryl Schumann testimony and just how powerful that was.
You know, it really is. I think that people that have straight friends in their families or straight family members should forward that video to them so they can see what that there are real victims out here from prohibition. It's just, it's sickening, and it makes me heartsick.
Yeah, and when you see the video and she's just starting to break up, you know, starting to cry over the thing, it's just so sad. And we hope everything goes well for her. All right, everybody.
Yeah, well, we sure do.
We're in our last minute here of Normal Show Live. We do continue the music and the chat in our chat room at live.normal.org for one more hour after we get done with the show, while I am compressing the show and uploading it to our archive at stash.normal.org. So if you missed anything, you want to take notes on Danny's tips from the show today, just go to stash.normal.org, scroll down about halfway, find the big green player there, and you can play the show. Also, I just noticed that Danny has joined us in the chat room there, so you can get your questions asked to him in the chat while he's hanging out, I imagine. That'll be a lot of fun. For Cannabis Carrie and everybody here at Normal, thank you so much for joining us here at Normal Show Live, the voice of the marijuana nation. We'll be back next week, Monday through Friday. On Monday, we'll be speaking with Paul Armentano, Normal Deputy Director, taking a look behind the headlines. And until next time, take care of each other, tokers.
You're listening to Normal Show Live, the voice of the Marijuana Nation.